Well, amen. Good morning. We're going to be in the book of Daniel again. And for you guys who are not here last Sunday, the message was entitled Courage Under Fire. And we laid out a little foundation and went through the whole book of Daniel, and that was a lot of reading. I don't think I'm going to do that again. But if the Lord tells me, though, I'll read seven books, right? Amen. So we went through the book of Daniel, chapter 3. And this morning, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. Chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for your word. Thank you for our guests. Lord, thank you for our friends and family that's here. And Lord, I just thank you so much for Frankie Lynn. And thank you for Adam and Lori, and everything went good with Lori. We just praise your holy name for that. And just ask you to bless them, keep them safe, keep them healthy as they go through the process and coming back home maybe tomorrow. And we just do stop for a minute and pray for our military men and women around the country serving. You never know what's coming around the corner. And so we just ask that you keep those safe, that you give our leaders from President Trump on down through Congress and all through the military officers and leaders, you give them wisdom and guide their steps. I pray for our foreign missionaries that are out there in the crazy countries, underground churches, where we don't want to forget about them. So we just ask you to help them, help keep them safe, keep spreading the good news of the gospel in Jesus' name. Lord, help me this morning with this message. I so desperately need you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Daniel chapter 3, verses 16, 17, 18. And let's read. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Everybody say amen. Amen. So the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace of King Nebuchadnezzar is one that many of us have heard since our childhood. If you grew up in church, in Sunday school, you've heard the stories and you remember how you say that name with power, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anyway, that's the way I grew up, you know, kind of throw some dramatic stuff in there. But these are three men who were faithful to God, and they refused to compromise and bow before the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar made. And basically, they stood in front of the most powerful man of this time and said that under no circumstances would they worship this giant golden image. That takes a lot of courage, would you think? Amen. So together, think about this now. Together, they declared, if we are thrown into the burning furnace, the God we serve is able. Everybody say, is able. I know it seems kind of childish, but I like doing that. It drives home that point. Is able. He's able to deliver us from it. And then they go on and say, he will deliver us from the king's hand. So now, really, really listen to what they said. But even if he does not, think about that. Even if he does not, we want you to know that we're not going to worship this golden image. Period. So we all know the story from reading in the Bible and from last week. These men were thrown in the fiery furnace. And God miraculously delivered them. They were prepared to die. These men were prepared to die. of their faith, trust in God was unconditional. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, this unconditional faith in God. See, they stood there. They stood there. They stood on that even if this happens, we're going to serve the Lord. Even if that happens, we're going to serve the Lord. Even if the things go in this direction, we're going to serve the Lord. Even if things go in that direction, we're going to still serve the Lord. This is a great model for us, especially when we go through problems in life. You know, if I'm not cured of this autoimmune disease I have, I hope that day by day I make a commitment, I'm still going to serve the Lord. I can say pretty firmly that if Mr. Jesse's eye doesn't ever go back to completely, he will still serve the Lord, right, sir? He will still serve the Lord, no matter what happens. This is that unconditional faith. So they knew that it was possible for them to be killed if they refused the orders of the king, but they remained loyal to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were ready to serve God regardless of the circumstances. Now, I know you don't need me to remind you of this, but this is just part of what God's called me to do this morning. I'm here to remind all of us that life is not a bouquet of roses. Amen? It's just not. Psalms 34:19. It says here, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." How does it say he delivers them out of them all? I've mentioned this many times, is that the Lord is going to deliver us. He's going to heal you 100% of the time. It's either here on earth or it's on the way to our heavenly home. But one way or the other, it's going to work out. Amen. And for some of us, we may have to wait until we get those perfect bodies that the Bible talks about. It may be when we get to heaven. We all go through difficulties. No one is exempt. Problems are impartial. Matthew 5:45, Jesus says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. See, being a person of faith, being a follower of Christ, doesn't exempt us from having troubles in life. Amen? But here's one thing I've noticed about this. Now, if I step on a little toes, I don't mean to, but I guess got to tell the truth. Here's one thing I've noticed about problems and situations. Every problem has a dual nature. They can either draw us closer to God or they can separate us from Him. In the Wednesday night men's discipleship group, we talked about the difference between carnal Christians and spiritual Christians. Spiritual Christians produce the fruit of church fellowship, attendance, Bible study, prayer time, sharing the testimony, giving the tithes and offerings, fellowshipping with one another, growing in Christ, serving the church, serving the community. These are the fruit of people that are growing in the Lord, they're maturing in Christ. Carnal Christians, well, they're Christians, they're going to go to heaven. But carnal Christians come to church and they either repent of their sins or they stop coming to church. Because most time the heat gets too hot. The Holy Spirit's convicting them. They may be living in a certain way or doing certain things that they know deep in their heart they shouldn't be. And the Holy Spirit, and they hear the Word of God, so the heat gets uncomfortable. And they either repent and enter into the fold and begin to grow and mature in Christ, or they take back off and they, back off and they stop coming to church. When some believers are facing trials, they move away from God. They stop praying and they stop attending church and they stop giving to the things of God and they stop reading the Bible. But here's the thing, it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be that way. Please listen to this. Problems. Every problem has an expiration date. I want that to sink in. Every problem that we're going through, that you're going through, it has an expiration date. If you can't see that, then you're really looking with your earthly eyes. There's a big picture. There's a grand picture. And really, problems are just temporary. They're just temporary. Lynn and I first married, we were going to church, and we were struggling. Neither one of us had a really good job, and we were having some financial issues and problems. And I look back now, and it really wasn't that big a deal. But for us at that time, the world's coming to an end. I had one of the deacons of our church tell me one time, and he was talking about financial, he was giving me some advice, and this is what he said. Never forget, you know what I'm talking about. He said, Dallas, he said, if money can fix your problem, you really don't have a problem. I've never forgot that. It was like hitting me in the head with a brick, That's true, isn't it? It really is. And I know in the midst of all the financial struggle, it's an issue. But, it's about our mindset. The Bible calls it light affliction. It's in 2 Corinthians 4:17. It's very interesting. 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says this. This light affliction, which is talking about problems, this light affliction is but for a moment, for a short time, and then it will be gone. Wow. Psalms 30, number 5, Psalms 35, it says this. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? No storm lasts forever. The wind will stop blowing, the battle will end, the rain will stop, and your sun will shine again. Don't give up in the middle of your trials. The night will soon be over. This is what the Bible says. Psalms, verse 50. Psalms 50, 15 says, this is God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, our good, good Heavenly Father. He says this. He says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Amen. Now, let's talk a little bit about unconditional faith. Unconditional faith. Everybody good? Say, I'm good? Everybody good? Dude, I'm thinking about your MOS, your job. I'm going on a rabbit trail. Y'all hang with me. That's awesome. I'm very proud of you. You want to tell them real quick? It'll be embarrassing for you. Tell them real quick. 10 seconds. Calvary Scout. Isn't that awesome? But not only that, you're going to be like shooting lasers at the, what's it called? Rockets that come over, and he's going to be shooting the lasers at them. That's just hua. Sorry. That's awesome, isn't it? Thank God, man. Thank you for your willingness to, and you too. You're going to be shooting lasers on the ship. Well, I think that's awesome, man. The young folks are feeling the call to go and continue to protect our country. Amen. So let's talk about unconditional faith. Sometimes when circumstances are very difficult, it can be tough to keep the faith. How many know what I mean? It can be tough sometimes, to keep our faith and stay focused and keep that right state of mind. But God desires that we trust Him, even if our prayers are not answered. That's a tough one sometimes. We must never let our trust in God become conditional because we don't see His goodness right then. Faith is trusting God even when it doesn't make sense. So when you have unconditional faith in God, you rarely get frustrated. If you really truly understand that God's got this, that He's in control, He's sovereign, and you really accept that He is your Father and He's going to take care of you, those kind of folks walk in the Spirit and they produce a lot of that kindness and goodness and gentleness because they rarely get frustrated. If a person demonstrates the temperament or attitude of always frustrated about something, I would encourage you to check your heart. You know, who are you trusting? The bank? Your job? Your spouse? Your money? You know, all that's good, but we can't put our trust in all that. Would y'all think that's amen? You know? Faith believes in God regardless of circumstances. What is unconditional faith? I got a few examples for you. I've had a lot, actually, so if you're taking notes, just bear with me. You're probably not going to be able to write all this down. If you're interested, send me an email and I'll email it to you. But what is unconditional faith? Number one, it's a faith in God that is not subject to any condition. Number two, it is to trust God without limitations or reservations. Number three, it is unconditional faith is a complete trust in the Lord. Number four, unconditional trust is believing God when He doesn't make sense and you don't really know what He's doing. You just can't figure it out. You don't know what's going on. You're just going to trust the Lord anyway. You're going to trust God. And number five, unconditional trust is blind faith in God and in the promises of His Word. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God unconditionally. Unconditionally. They were committed no matter what the outcome. Everybody hearing that? No matter what the outcome. Even if God chose not to deliver them the way that they desired, they were determined to stand firm and be faithful in God and trust Him. And this is really the proper attitude that we all need. Me and you and all of us, we need to be able to trust God like this. This is a great example. It's not a matter of whether things turn out as we hope. The issue is whether we are truly trusting the Lord. Now, unconditional faith is really loving God. It's to love God is that unconditional faith. We trust Him because He loves us. Y'all know the Scriptures. There's no limit to what God can and will do if you fully believe in Him. Give Him your unconditional trust and faith today. God has a plan for you. He's working behind the scenes in a plan for your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose." Guys, this kind of faith believes that God always knows best for our marriage, for our career, for our family. Faith believes that He is in control. Faith believes that He is in control. And therefore, we can rest in Him. We can truly just rest in Him. That's why God said, "Be still and know that I am God." Okay, so how do you develop unconditional faith? Wow, I got 13 of these. You ready? I can't help it. How do you develop unconditional faith? So bear with me. The first thing is you got to know God. That's the starting point. You have to be born again. You have to be saved. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego they were bold. They could speak bold. They could walk in that kind of faith because they knew God. They knew what God could do. Do you know God this morning? Do you have a relationship with Him? A personal relationship. Not religion. Not joining this church. A personal relationship with Him. Do you? Number two, you got to know yourself. Do you know who you really are? Especially if it's a child of God. Do you really know who you are in Christ? Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you really know and understand that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? There's royal blood flowing through your veins now. You've been adopted into the family of God. Number three, love God unconditionally. He loved us in the middle of our mess, didn't He? Number four, feed your faith daily. The Word of God is alive. What we listen to and what we read affects what we believe. So for some of us, we need to go deeper into the Word of God. Number five, exercise your faith. Every believer has been given a measure of faith. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Let me read it. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Therefore, we must put our faith into action. We must practice what we preach. Amen? Excuse me. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all are like, okay, that's kind of weird. You must practice what you preach. And I'm going to share this with you. It's a little humbling, but it's all right. I need it. It was good. So I had an opportunity to go to Turning Point Hospital this week, and I do some training with some fellow social workers and counselors and all the fancy folks. You know, that's what I call them. I'm one of them, though, I guess. But so I've done thousands of trainings. No kidding you. You know, in my 26-year career, I'm a counselor by trade, you know. I'm trying to be a preacher. But God's got that worked out, right, Jason? So anyway, you know, I'm over here, and there's about 60 professional counselors, PhDs, psychologists, all, and so I don't know. I let the enemy get in my mind a little bit. I'm only human too, right? So don't judge me. So I started worrying. Yeah, man, I gotta teach my peers. That's the hardest thing. Anybody know what I mean? You teach to your peers. You know, that's you know. So anyway, I started kind of getting worried a little bit, and so I prayed about it. And the Lord put on my heart a few folks to send a text to ask to pray for me. And Heath was one of them. Right? So here's my text, right? I text to Heath and a few other folks too. They're all like, you got this, man. You can do it. You know, they were all like, you know, go, go, rah, rah. I text to Heath. This is what I said. I said, pray for me. I'm about to teach a four-hour training class to about 60 of my peers at Turning Point Hospital. Most of them are a lot smarter than me. So I read all that back later, and I was thinking, God, this is what Heath sent me. Probably. But you are the one God... He said... Like, thanks a lot, buddy. I said, you know, most of them are a lot smarter than me. He said, probably. I could hear his voice by that time. You know, I could hear his voice. And this is what he said, though. Listen, he says, but you are the one God placed in this position, and He will be with you wherever you go. Have courage. My pastor told me that on Sunday. Wow. That was great. So, real quickly, oh no, I'm running out of time. Real quickly, let me tell you what happened. So, I'm on the way to, you know, the Moultrie, and the little guy that puts all this together, he said, man, we got so many people running a place, running a room in our training room. So, we're going to have it at a local church. So, it was a little non-denominational church in Moultrie. And I said, okay. So I got the Google, found a place, got out, came in. And hey, there was welcome everybody. And he said, are you going to be up here? So I walked in. No exaggeration. It was almost just like this. So they had chairs. You know how they stack chairs up? They had chairs. And they had me a little podium sitting right up there. And I walked in and I just felt the anointing. It was crazy. And I had no notes. Man, I've been doing this a long time. So, you know, 3 or 4 hours, no notes. You know, it comes from here, you know. Anyway, I stood up there and everybody's out here just like this, you know. And so I'm standing here and I almost start crying. I couldn't hardly lie and get all winky sometimes. And I start crying, you know. And how many folks are here, maybe? I'm about 50, maybe. So they're all kind of in one area. They're all shooting by those names somewhere. So it was like all of a sudden I was in church. And I'm not kidding you, for 3.5 hours, I preached. And I was preaching, I was using biblical examples, and I was still covering the balls and addictions, what I meant to do, and recovery and addictions, you know, that kind of thing. And I covered all that too. And every once in a while I get called together and I say, oh, I'm sorry, Mark. And they over here, they go, oh, brother, preach it. And so over there, yeah, amen. So, amen. And I'm, you know, 3.5 hours, we had a little 2 minute breaks every hour. But Heath was right on, man. God had put me in that place and had honored my faithfulness and I had to muster up that courage. Amen? So some of you might think that's, you know, anyway. So God bless me. Thank you, man. That was cool. Number 4, feed your faith daily. Did I cover that one? And number 5, exercise your faith. Every believer, cover that one. Oh, my Jesus, flip a page, Dallas. I'm all messed up. Number 6, speak to your faith. Speak light in the darkness. Speak life into yourself. Speak life into those valley of dry bones. Okay? Speak testimonies. These are things that speak faith into you. Free your faith from doubt and negativity. I'm going to say that again. Free your faith from doubt and negativity. James 1:6 says this. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the sea, by the wind. Number 8, share your faith with others. When your faith is strengthened, strengthen others. Look, guys, when God blesses you, go and share what God's done for you. Share it with your neighbor, your coworker, your friend, your family. When God does something really good in your life, share that. Share it. You know, we all have these blessings and those kind of things. Share that. Now listen, develop, this is the last one, develop a life of personal praise and worship. Develop a personal life of praise and worship. Whether it's in your car, truck, going to work. How many has been worshiping the Lord in your car and song comes on and you start crying, you almost have to pull your car over? Raise your hand, you know what I'm talking about? Because you're like, I'm getting dangerous. This is, you know. This, you know? You've been in your living room, in your office, you wherever. Don't just depend on worshiping at church. Praise, you know, personal praise and worship. Praising God is an act of faith and helps you grow. You can praise God even in the middle of your problems. Job said this, right? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, these are words coming from a man that was losing it all. And despite all that, he still was going to serve the Lord. Job was set on following and trusting God. He lost everything. But his faith was unshaken and it was unconditional. My friends, dare to trust God. Not just when things are going your way. Right? Not just when things are going your way, but even when you don't really understand what's going on. Is your faith in God conditional or unconditional? If God said no to your prayers, would you still serve Him? Even if God left Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if He left them in the fiery furnace, you know what? He would still be God. He would still be able. He will still be full of love and mercy and grace. Our God is able to heal and to deliver. But even if he doesn't on this earth, will you still serve him? These are good questions. If you are in the middle, I'm about to close, okay? If you're in the middle of a difficulty today, look to God. Look to him. The Bible says that he is the author and finisher of our faith. And remember, what you are facing today is temporary. Victory is on the way, and it's a lot closer than some of you think. Keep standing, keep praying, keep believing, keep praising, keep hoping, keep saying, serving God, and keep confessing his word. Keep speaking God's word over you. Refuse to doubt. Have total faith in God. Trust him unconditionally. God honored those three Hebrew men. He delivered them from death, and his name was glorified. In your case is not hopeless. Whatever you're going through, it is not hopeless. God will not abandon his children. Only God Almighty has the final say. And I'll close with this scripture, Isaiah 43, 1 and 3. Listen closely. But now thus saith the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you that it can put us in our place sometimes. And sometimes it can encourage us and motivate us. Lord, I thank you that your word is everything we need. It's whatever we need. It's everything we need. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, during this song of invitation, they would come down and be glad to pray with them. Or if anyone wants to join our church, this would be a great time. And Lord, we love to baptize folks. If anybody feels led to be baptized, they'd come and talk to me. We'd love that. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.